Hey everybody, this is JP Joshua Paxton from Marketing Edge Magazine, and this is Beyond the Print as we go behind the scenes to discover where do we get all of that great content that we publish four times a year in Marketing Edge Magazine. We are a publication that focuses on promotional products, incentives, and premiums, all that great branded merchandise that some people out there refer to as swag. Well, it's award season here at Marketing Edge, and we are getting ready for the top products announcement that'll come out in our first issue of 2019. Each year, we gather a panel of professional buyers, people who source out the branded merchandise products for various company needs, and we get them together to review submissions from different suppliers from all across Canada and the United States in the promotional products industry. This year, we're going to go behind the curtain. We sit down with professional buyers from the finance industry, agriculture, entertainment. We've got a great variety of buying perspectives here. We're going to sit down and get their insight into what is marketing, how does it affect their company, and what do they look for when they're using or creating branded merchandise. Let's listen in.
Let's just go around the room very quickly and do just brief introductions. Rita?
Rita Bivel, Hensel Co-op. Hensel Co-op rebranded a little over a year ago now. And at that time, right, wrong, or indifferent, I guess I was very vocal about my thoughts about the brand and what it should be. And even the marketing company seemed to agree with me on it. And as a consequence, I've sort of inherited the marketing in Hensel Co-op. But I'm an accountant. It's my background. So Steve will tell you that I have a very practical approach when I'm looking at things, so I probably will have some different views, and I think that's why I might be here.
What's interesting, when we look at the readership of the magazine, it's amazing how many titles we have. Like, I thought it would be just when we started marketing, sales and marketing coordinators. We have accountants, we have executive assistants, we have safety people, we have... I laid out cards one day that we got at a trade show for people who wanted to get the magazine. There was about 200 cards, and I think I had over 100 unique titles.
I'm Megan Knowles. I'm with Sun Life Global Investments, which is the mutual fund company out of Sun Life Financial. So two separate entities, two separate logos, two separate brands. Kind of a unique position because our end users and clients are financial advisors. So we're very, very strictly regulated in terms of the products that we can offer and how they're branded and how they're presented and, you know, the total cost that they can be. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing what's out there, what's coming up, and some upcoming trends.
I'm Angie Wheeler. I'm from War Insurance and Investment in Stratford. A few years ago, they took on 5 more offices, so we have 6 offices altogether now. So it's always a challenge to kind of find things that work. We kind of call them country, and we're city in Stratford, so we're trying to kind of please everybody, and we're often looking for new and great ideas. So I'm excited for today to see what's available for next year.
I'm Miles Rusak. I'm with the Burlington Sound Music Festival. It's Canada's largest outdoor music festival. We deal with about 180 different vendors. We have our own line of merchandise that we put out every year at the festival. All kinds of different swag things come out of the festival. So it's, I like what Rita said about your approach is practical. Mine is often selfish. I look at things and go, do I want that? And if the answer is no, then I typically go, well, then who does? So it's, I'm excited to see these things today. I know Steve and Kirsty usually float a few things by me every now and then. I also run Bike Night in Paris, here in Paris. We have a whole line of promotional merchandise as well, everything from bandanas and face shields to shirts and mugs, and there's been some pretty interesting things that have come out over the last little while. So yeah, excited to look at some stuff.
Hi everyone, I'm Susie Kazan, and I'm from the County of Brant, and I am the marketing coordinator. I look after marketing our programs and services to County of Brant residents. So we're very budget conscious, obviously, being from the county. People remind us we're spending taxpayers' dollars on these things, so we really like to use promotional products that we see that are very useful every day. We also help though with tourism, which you can kind of get away with more fun stuff when you're promoting tourism in the county. And yeah, I'm excited for today.
Hi, I'm Melanie Prosser, and I'm with Hensel Co-op with Rita. I've got a checkered past. I've done marketing for various positions. Before I joined Hensel Co-op, I was with the London International Airport. That was an exciting challenge because I wasn't actually marketing to our customers, we were marketing to our customers' customers. Well, that was kind of a challenge. Decided to join Hensel Co-op when they approached me because my degree's in agriculture, so the fit was good, and much more challenging and many more divisions and lots of good things coming down the pipeline, I think.
Very good.
Thank you to everybody.
Actually, Josh, self-introduction.
Self-introduction? I am Steve's digital workhorse. That is the title I am for Marketing Edge. Writing, publishing, marketing, social media, it all falls somewhere within my arms for executing the plan for Marketing Edge.
Hey, it's my title.
Well, as I was pointing at you, you are the executioner. You dictate, and then I make happen under your guise. So I do a lot for Marketing Edge and that side. A lot of the social media, the website will fall to me. I'm a contributing writer as well. And as well for Promotion Elements, I'm a senior business consultant. So again, sitting down with some of you here today that we've worked with for a little while and learning more about what the goals are for your marketing needs and giving you referrals for premiums, incentives, branded items. So I love doing both because it takes a passion that I have for helping people and for our industry. And gives me a voice to help others through the magazine and to learn a lot from other people as well. So in that end, what I'd like to ask today is there's a lot of people, as Steve mentioned, with different titles here today. But we're all here to talk about the magazine, which is Marketing Edge. So I wanted to ask, in your company, in your experience, what is marketing to you? What is your responsibility, for instance, when it comes to Hensel?
Well, it's interesting because marketing is actually, historically, does everyone know what Hensel Co-op does? Okay, we're like one of the eighth largest non-financial co-ops in Canada. We're in Hensel, which is a small town in southwestern Ontario, near Lake Ontario. We have annual sales of about $700 million a year. $500 million of that is beans. Beans that you guys eat in your bean soup, or black beans and tacos, that type of thing. So that's a big part of what Hensel Co-op does. And interestingly enough, in the past, the word marketing, and to this day, the word marketing means you're selling and marketing beans. And the whole idea of having a strategic focus of trying to figure out how you do that better is all that's sort of foreign. It's still sort of foreign to us.
So in that sense, for you, marketing is figuring out how do we improve that communication, the sales? How do we get this product out there?
Marketing is what people do every day. Yeah. What do? I market beans. I'm a field marketer. Right. The word is used constantly and consistently.
In a very different context.
But in a more operational context as opposed to a strategic context.
So for you guys, it's about taking a product to market, right? It's how do I get that out there? How do I communicate the product, get people to buy it? Morgan, how would that compare with you in a more of an entertainment capacity? For you, what is marketing and entertainment industry?
Yeah, well, it's significantly changed now, the shift from OLG, right? Everyone knew what OLG was, they knew all the casinos, and now we're really marketing. Right now, we're really trying to sell and promote our brand, right? Because when Great Canadian took us over, we took over the Elements brand, so really it's trying to get out and market and have people understand that we're still an entertainment facility, but it's now Elements. And then it's getting, our big marketing strategy is really to try and pull those dollars from people going out for dinner, people going to the movies, right? We're very much in the same business as we want to have those entertainment dollars come to us versus going elsewhere, right?
So for you, it's trying to sell an experience.
Absolutely, because we don't have any tangible items that people are leaving with at the end of the day, right? They're leaving with that feeling of excitement, maybe they won a jackpot, maybe they had a great experience in the restaurant, mm-hmm. Or they met, a great server on the gaming floor. So yeah, like you're mentioning, it's all about the experience for us.
And so Miles and Susie, both of you right now have a tourism aspect to you as well. Would that be similar for you in the idea that you've got to market an experience to, say, a festival or a community?
Yeah, I think so. And even outside of the festival, my previous role, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, so I've been in the nonprofit world about 18 years. And for us in nonprofit, it's about marketing an idea or a concept of something. There isn't always that tangible like at least in the entertainment world, there is that excitement and there's that takeaway, whereas in a nonprofit, that's not always there. So, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters, we're trying to market a program where you may not see the direct impact of what that's going to do with the children. So it's up to us to try to communicate and market that this is the long-term impact you're going to have. And, you know, sometimes that might equate to fundraising dollars or corporate partnerships or, you know, so that gets a bit challenging where you're trying to market abstract, non-tangible ideas.
You're getting warm and fuzzy, though.
You are. But we're finding that's harder and harder to do because it's a super saturated market where, you know, once upon a time, you could host a walk and say, well, you know, I walk for my brother, sister, aunt, uncle, mom, dad, and everybody would go, oh, and, you know, here's my donation. That doesn't work anymore. And we're seeing more and more that you need to get a lot more creative in how you're selling those programs.
So when you're talking about, we've touched on like the intangible aspect of the entertainment versus the tangible products. So in that sense, where is the promotional product fit when you're trying to market, whether it is an experience or the benefits of another product? Where, for instance, and I think maybe Angie will give an example, it's insurance. Where does promotional product carry the benefit for you to raise the level of or insurance?
I think for us, nobody likes insurance. So we have to almost ignore the fact that we're insurance because nobody wants us. But we're very community-based. So us, when I think marketing, it's sort of how we present ourselves in the community and how we come across. We want to build that trust with everyone. We use a lot of promotional items to donate to the community in events and that kind of thing. So for us, it's sort of building ourselves. How do we build that picture in our community and use those items for that and market to that?
Megan, do you find with Sun Life, are your products an extension of your brand?
I would say we're in a bit of a unique position simply because we market to financial advisors and we are very like strictly regulated in that we can't use promotional products to try and coerce or stray saying like, oh, like here, look at what we've given you. Because they need to be offering products and services that are in the best interest of the client, no matter who that comes from. So it could be us, it could be a different competitor. So for us, the products and the promotional items are there to keep our product and our brand at the top of mind. So, you know, with, you know, notebooks and pens and swag and things like that, it's just to always keep us in mind so that they're staying up to date on the different products and services that we offer.
So we've got 7 judges around the table, just by show of hands. Who is using promotional products exclusively as their marketing vehicle? Okay, I'm not surprised. There's no hands going up. Who would put a hand up to say you're using promotional products as an incentive to say, hey, come talk to me or come look at my product? Yeah, a couple? Around the way. Who would say you're using them more as an award, as a thank you for being part of your product or coming to you? Again, about half around the room. Outside of those two things, what applications would you consider? How would you describe how you're using them for your company specifically?
For our employees.
Employer recognition.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say recognition, it's just to keep them safe and warm.
So in a uniform capacity, it's outfitting the company with something that has the brand on it.
Yeah, we have toques for all our outside workers with our logo on them, so and all our high vis is all branded. So
that's a good application is what they're wearing, what they're using. For all those that work in an office, do all of your paperwork and pens have your logos on them? Okay, I just want to make sure because, you know, I want to make sure we're doing that because if we're not, that'd look really bad on some of the people here. other ideas, other thoughts of how you may be using them. Morgan, as an example for you, I think of the gifting that I've seen go through, right? Where it's get people in for, is it the rewards program?
Yeah, so part of our loyalty program, we're in, I guess it's an incentive to, we send out direct mail pieces and we're driving people back into the property by giving them free gifts on Friday and Saturday night. Hundreds upon hundreds of people. And they're all walking around with these gifts. And the people that don't have the gifts are talking about, well, how do I get the gifts, right? I want a gift. So then it's driving people to sign up for the program and, you know, play with their card.
So to that end, we're talking about premiums and in this case, not including a brand on the gift that went out. Has anybody else felt that trend in the last year? Are you finding you're using bigger logos, brighter logos, or are they getting smaller and more subtle on the products you're using?
So we are in, we're regulated in that anything we provide has to have a logo on it and has to be permanent. So we can't wrap something up in a logo ribbon because they can just throw that away. It has to have a permanent brand of it in some way. So that being said, we realize that, you know, not everybody wants a jacket or a hat with a giant logo on it. So we're finding that, you know, more subtle ways of branding is becoming much more popular. So doing an all black logo on like a gray hoodie or something like that. So the logo's still there, it's still compliant, you're still getting that advertising in. Just a little bit more subtle to make it a bit more wearable.
We've even switched to just changing the location. Normally on a t-shirt, you would have the, you know, the logo here. We did one here, just on this piece. And everybody kind of squawked about it at first, saying like, now you're not gonna see it, like nobody's gonna know. And it ended up being more people talked about it because it was new, it was fresh, it was different than any ever before, so.
We've been finding too, and so I'm brand new to the sound of music, but even just in the past, and we actually last night had a huge marketing conversation about all of this. The logo, like for us, because we're trying to market an event that takes place 1 week out of the year, we have 51 other weeks that we're trying to stay front of mind in people's, as they're thinking about it. The other thing too that came up is we want people to not go away from it saying, you know, oh, I saw so-and-so, I saw whoever, Elton John. We don't want them to go away saying, I saw Elton John. We want them to go away saying, I was at the Sound of Music Festival where I saw Elton John. So when it comes to these logos and branding and everything, that's, for us, putting that out there is how we keep it front of mind when we're not selling tickets, when it's not ready for those things. But we got talking about logos and sizes and positions and everything. I brought up that a while back, I did some work with a union, and as a thank you, they gave me this like beautiful leather bag, but it's really nice, and you know, holding it up, I'm like, oh wow, and then I turn it over, and it's just their logo all over the side, and I went, and it was like pushed into the leather, and I went, oh, and it sat in the closet, and I haven't used it since. So we were talking last night about how we've been finding the same, but as we shrink the logo and make it into something that's more of an accent to the piece, we're seeing more and more people wearing them and using them and enjoying them.
So yeah. You really need to understand your audience and really put yourself in the position of, if they were to receive it as an item, what is their impression going to be? Not so much how happy am I that I got my brand to be the size of a billboard on somebody else's t-shirt that now doesn't actually make it out. And definitely keep that in mind today as we go through the Marketing Edge Top Products Contest. When you're looking at these items, half of your decision making is going to be thought about, well, if I was buying it from my company, what might I consider? But also, keep in mind, what would it be like to receive that item as a gift? What would you perceive it from a value standpoint or as a usefulness if someone else gave it to you? To that end, talking about the importance of knowing your audience, I wanted to ask, who is in charge of your branded merchandise programs? Is that strictly a marketing function, or do you involve or share responsibility with other people in your company? I see heads shaking along the way. Susie?
Yeah, we share definitely with, you would know from program staff, we bring them into it as well as tourism staff. And marketing communications, we are the head of it, but we always get their opinion as well.
And is part of that just to get their influence on who their audience is going to be, or just to delegate because you're too busy?
That too.
Yeah. For us, it's our sales team, because they're kind of the front line, and they're the ones who are out there working with our end client. So, you know, they're talking to them every day about various different things. So they're the ones telling us, listen, they want this, or they hate this, or that was, you know, a cheap piece, let's switch it up. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of our...
The importance of the feedback, right?
Absolutely.
The people using the items?
We always do a little survey almost, like send an email out to everybody and just ask them, you know what, have you ever seen something really cool, or have you ever gotten something? Kind of get everybody involved, but then just a separate committee to kind of go through it all. But and at the end of the year, reevaluate again, maybe with the inventory that's still sitting in the closet, and look at it and say, okay, that wasn't a great idea. What else can we change or do? But I think it's important to get everybody's opinion, because you get lots of different views then too.
Mm-hmm. In the previous organization, before I started it, they did a lot of consensus, right? Let's get consensus. And unfortunately, what was happening is most of our members are older, but the ones that are really influencing are younger. And we were essentially bringing in products that were appealing to that older group because they were the majority, but we really needed to get to that silent or that minority. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if others are finding this, but that younger demographic, they won't even take the item. Like, they will just say, no, I don't even want it. And so obviously being in agriculture, hats are important. And, you know, we had these hats and we had a new logo, and our new logo is orange and red. It's quite trendy. It's right on there, right? And we had young guys in our sales team saying, like, we need to get a flex fit hat. We need to get a nicer hat. Guys won't even take these hats. And I always said, it's a new brand. I'm not going to play with it because we got to get the brand out there. And one of these salesmen was giving me an impassioned plea as to why we needed to do something different on the hats, wearing an Under Armour hat. And I looked at it and I went, oh. And Steve has seen this. I pulled the H out and put the H on the front in gray, and I put Henson Co-op in the back. This hat looks like an Under Armour hat. And like, I have sales guys at the threshold of my door, like, kind of wavering and going, like, do you have any more hats? Because there's such a demand for these hats. My lesson learned there was, you can't listen to everybody. You got to figure out who's the one who really gets who you're trying to get to. And if it means, and consensus can be a bad thing, because I would rather spend more on fewer hats than have a whole bunch of them sitting there. And we do have extras in the warehouse.
So that would be another great trend, as we're sitting here talking, would be, we've talked about, okay, we're going to make logos smaller and more subtle, but also retail inspiration. What is it people are already wearing from bigger brands that they're buying on their own? How do we emulate that style so that they'll pick this one up and wear it proudly as a uniform? Sticking on that idea, what other trends have you noticed maybe in the last 12 months through your own business, through the industry? One idea might be, what have you found has been the hottest item going out in your arsenal? And is it by price point or design or use? So anyone around the table think of something that springs to mind that they've done that people just went over their minds, loved?
Convenience tech items.
Tech items.
So, and especially convenience ones. So the backup battery chargers, the charging cables, anything that will keep people connected. They love that stuff because it's small, it's useful. Great for us because the brand's getting out there. We've had huge success with webcam covers because our logo's right there on it, but then people are really, really aware of, you know, Big Brother like with the webcams, and it just slides right over their webcam, and every time they open their laptop, our logo's right there. And they love it. It's super cheap. It's easy to logo, and it's right there. It's always top of mind.
Where do you tend to find new product ideas? Do you find that people come in and show them to you, or are you finding them online or in flyers? Where do you draw your inspiration?
Steve calls you.
Steve calls you?
See, I always tend to go online. I think, you know, it's just because of the convenience of it. Sometimes it's just, I can go online quickly, look at some things.
And where do you find it? Promotional product websites or magazine sites?
Yeah, promotional product websites. Right.
So from your distributors or direct buy, where do you find?
Correct. Yeah. I would say, not to say, but like foreign print, things like that. Just easy to get on and request a sample, you get the sample right away.
So is there a hot list or something you go to, or do you just kind of go in and keyword search?
Sometimes they do have like popular products right now. Or
Anybody else?
We have some vendors that actually will send us decks. So they'll say, okay, these are the items. Keep in mind that a lot of stuff we're ordering offshore because it's very, very, very low price point. So that's really a big marketing strategy, I guess, that we're taking right now, is getting thousands of items shipped from offshore. With the four properties, on average, each night we do 6,000 items per night, for Friday, for Saturday. So we have, like I mentioned, vendors that will actually show us items. So they'll say, okay, well, we have this hot item off the press. It's linked into Bath & Body Works. It's this branded item. We'll give it to you for this price. And then they'll send 30, 40 of them. And then, unlike other companies, there's only 8 of us in the 4 properties that actually make all the decisions on buying. Just because we find that the more people we have involved, you know, everyone gets their, you know, more personal opinion attached to it, right? No, I don't want that. I wouldn't use that.
It's that same problem of decision by consensus. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their own input.
It's just too much, like the whole too many
chief's idea. So yeah, there's only 8 of us that really make all the decisions, and we buy that way.
Well, I know you were all thinking Marketing Edge Gallery, but not any of we wanted to be the one to say it and placate to the people hosting the event. I'm sure.
Like for me, I find, and I'm kind of guilty of not actively seeking new promotional items. I'll just see what other people have in the moment, like by accident. And I remember, I think it was the Salute to Brand Business, those button things that go on the back of your phone. I had no idea what these things were. I had never seen them before. I had to phone someone the next day and be like, what is this?
And is that the pop grip?
Yeah, and it just
who's like a pop grip? Show them around.
That was. I had never seen it before. I'm like, I don't know what this does. But then, you know, I had to phone somebody the next day and be like, what is this? And when they explained it to me, I was like, well, that's cool. There's the one. But now, you know, you see them everywhere. And everyone's got a different one. You've got a different one. There's a different one. And so you start going, oh, maybe that works. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that these things typically end up coming to me is I'll just see somebody else or I'll say, like, wow, that's a really neat mug you have. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, look what it can do. And, oh, I need to get my hands on those. it is far more passive for me, I find.
Yes.
Going back one career, when I was at the airport, our parking lot is full in the winter time when all the southern flights are going and the charters. So I went out and walked around the parking lot one day and I thought, okay, a lot of these people arrived and there was no snow and now there's snow. So we went and got pocket ice scrapers.
Wow, that's great.
And we put clear for takeoff. And we kept track of all the flights when they left, and if that flight left and we did weather and it came back and the snow blizzard, we had our customer service people stay in their hand as they paid their parking ticket, they got a free ice scraper.
That's a fantastic promo idea.
We always judge our products based on, you know, different scenarios that we can think of. So we think, okay, so our team out at West, we have a group of people who are huge Rough Riders fans. So, you know, out in Saskatchewan, they're all season ticket holders. So we think, okay, well, what can we brand them to make their experience better? So stadium seats, like blanket hoodies, things like stuff that they can bring with them into the stadium. Or our clients who are in the farming communities, thermoses that they can take out on the tractors with them that keeps their coffee hot all day. So you try and think about, you know, what are these little kind of convenience items as opposed to, you know, what's trendy or popular right now?
I like implicitly, and this is a terrible thing, but I like blindly trust every review I read. Like I don't care what the thing is, I will Google it, and if one person's like, I have this and it's amazing, I'll be like, well, that guy, he knows.
He's the guy.
Like I will stand in a store holding a product that I love, but I'll be like, hold on, and I will Google it while I'm holding it. Oh, 2 stars. No. And like,
wow.
Yeah, like I do trust reviews. And if there was an opportunity to say like, and even like quality, because that's,
yes.
I find like that's a huge difference. And Steve doesn't let me live down the fact that I bought very cheap pens from 4imprint once. And these things are dangerous. If you click it, the spring bursts out. But
they were cheap, were they?
They were
inexpensive.
They were awful.
They weren't inexpensive, they were cheap.
Cheap garbage. But like, I would love to know even, you know, because there are 300 different pens that I could buy, and I would love to know from somebody, like, what are the quality of these things that I'm buying, and what do I want to look for, and what, just like, somebody who's held it and felt it and knows
what
it is. And
even sizing in clothing,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
There's always, you know, run small or whatever, but I would love to hear another marketing person being like, the women's jacket will come up short.
Yeah.
Like it's,
or try it on and like model it like
right.
In your social. Like
you can do
I'm
that on clothing
huge,
ones.
Yeah, huge into social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like social media is the way of the world, especially like my generation. So I think that's really important. And to your point, right? So you can incorporate a lot of this into social media, and you can get a lot of your, you know, the people that buy off you looped into that, and they're actually having that conversation on your page. So now when they're having that conversation, it's easy for you guys to reach out saying, hey, I noticed that you're talking about this jacket. Is that something that you'd be interested in looking into, right? And then you know, talk to some of your teammates and say, you know, the ladies or whatever, if you're looking for.
I like implicitly, and this is a terrible thing, but I like blindly trust every review I read. Like, I don't care what the thing is, I will Google it, and if one person's like, I have this and it's amazing, I'll be like, well, that guy, he knows.
He's the guy.
Like, I will stand in a store holding a product that I love, but I'll be like, hold on, and I will Google it while I'm holding it. Oh, 2 stars. No. And like,
wow.
Yeah, like I do trust reviews. And if there was an opportunity to say like, and even like quality, because that's,
yes.
I find like that's a huge difference. And Steve doesn't let me live down the fact that I bought very cheap pens from 4imprint once. Uh-huh. And these things are dangerous. If you click it, the spring bursts out. But
they were cheap, were they?
They were inexpensive. They were awful.
They weren't inexpensive, they were cheap.
They were cheap. Cheap garbage. But like, I would love to know even, you know, because there are 300 different pens that I could buy, and I would love to know from somebody, like, what are the quality of these things that I'm buying, and what do I want to look for, and what, just like, somebody who's held it and felt it and knows
what
it is.
And even sizing and clothing,
or
there's always, you know, run small or whatever, but I would love to hear another marketing person being like, the women's jacket will come up short.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
or try it on and like model it, like
right.
In your social. Like,
you can do
I'm
that on clothing
huge,
ones.
Yeah, huge into social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, social media is the way of the world, especially like my generation. So I think that's really important. And to your point, right? So you can incorporate a lot of this into social media, and you can get a lot of your, the people that buy off you looped into that, and they're actually having that conversation on your page. So now when they're having that conversation, it's easy for you guys to reach out saying, hey, I noticed that you're talking about this jacket. Is that something that you'd be interested in looking into, right? And then, you know, talk to some of your teammates and say, you know, the ladies or whatever, if you're looking for sizing and stuff.
So is there a value then, real quick, give some thought, what are some of the things that you love about your experience with the promotional products industry right now from the workings you've had? And more importantly, what is something you see a definite room for improvement on, either with the distributor you're working with who's bringing you the sales, or in the industry as a whole? So for instance, you were talking about sizing and consistency along that way. What are some of the challenges and what are some of the things you love? We'll start.
Years ago when I was in the horse industry, I subscribed to a journal that all it did was review products, and I had a little retail store, so before I bought a product to sell, and I'm kind of, you know, extrapolating this, but why can't we get people who are marketers to review some of the products, and that could maybe be the social media part of the piece. And send these products out to people for size, for fit, for wear, for quality. And then they can write a short, you know, tweet length review. And then people who are buying the products can refer to that to see if that's going to suit their needs or not. Because I made a lot of buying decisions for my store based on the reviews by peers that came out in this journal.
So like a people's choice,
yeah.
Which is kind of what you'll get to do today with the top products contest, but maybe make that a more regular feature
in
the magazine.
Like, I would spend more based on those reviews. And this just happened. Like, it's kind of an odd thing, but I bought a popcorn machine for my home theater. And I was looking them up, and there was one that was significantly cheaper. But I'm looking at the reviews, and the reviews were terrible. People were like, you know, this sucks, it burnt everything, you don't want it. But then this other one was double the price, had great reviews, and I went, well, I guess I'm spending double. Where I went into it thinking, I'm going to buy this inexpensive one. But because 15 people said, no, don't do it, I went, and I spent double the amount I went into it thinking, because...
And it looks damn good.
So that is the age of the influencer, right? We're turning social media. Do you find your distributor representatives, people you call on for the information, the expertise industry, are they influencers in your decision? How important are they right now when you're saying, I want this product?
I guess when they're building out our decks of products. But at the end of the day, we'll make the final decision on what we're buying and stuff like that.
Right. They're not giving you the demonstration or the review, as Miles said. Here's the product online, you're done.
Yeah, I think our business is a tad bit unique in that we're really targeting based on price point.
So Megan, I can put you in the hot seat. Are you okay with that? You're comfortable? I'm going to take Miles' example of an online review by somebody you don't know that says it's a five-star product. And Carl, who you've worked with for a long time, says, Megan, that's a one-star performance. Who has a better influence for you?
Sorry, man. But I got, like, and that speaks to who I, like, where I am in, like, my generation mm-hmm. and the types of products I purchase personally. I'm going to review the reviews because I feel like they're not necessarily biased. Mm-hmm. Not that Carl's biased, but it's like I want to know what the user thinks because in the end of, at the end of the day, the user is my client, and I need mm-hmm. to know that other users have had good experiences. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that you know it's an easier brand to deal with or something mm-hmm. like that. So the reviews are definitely going to be the one that I kind of trust and kind of go to.
One of our employees came to me and said, "I'm looking for ideas to hand out to our truck drivers. What do you think?" And we had a short discussion and we came up with some ideas. So I called our distributor and said, what can you come up with for this, this, and this? And a few days later, he came back with several options. And that's the way we did it.
Yeah, and I sometimes prefer that because I don't have time to sit and look through so many options. If I can call my distributor and say, this is kind of what I'm thinking, they'll get back to me with some ideas, and then I can pick. I still have the power to pick from what he's given me, mm-hmm. but I haven't wasted all of that time now having to look. Because they're the experts. That's their job. That's what they're for. They know. So I'm hoping that they're following through with the trends and knowing what would be a great fit for us. Mm-hmm. Now, if I happen to come across some really great thing, I might look it up myself. But if I'm also looking for that customer experience of, okay, just take care of me.
Especially like coming from the nonprofit world, you know, it's really challenging with these things. That's to your question, even like order one minimum order quantities kill us in the nonprofit because we don't have a huge budget for this stuff. So when it's like, wow, we really want those jackets. Oh, I have to order 50 of them. We don't have that. Sorry, I need 10. You know, and it kills us. So having them though to tangibly and like we did this with Bike Night where you brought me these shirts and. You know, in my mind, I would have been fine with entry-level Gildan, whatever they are. But then you showed me the Ethica long sleeve, and wow, these are brilliant. And we ended up ordering those. So like, there's something to be said for being able to hold it, touch it, and experience it yourself. And I do like having the rep come and explain those things to me and let me interact with it so that I don't end up with 10,000 destructive pens. But it's but then there's something to be said for when you just need that quick, like, I need a trade show coming up, I need to give out some keychains, I just want to get online and go, and I'm done.
And there you have it, a little peek behind the curtain at the professional judging panel that looks over the top products competition for Marketing Edge magazine. Watch marketingedgemagazine.com. We will have that top products announcement coming up, and more media will be shared as we continue on the adventure with these judges going through the top products competition 2019. I'm JP Joshua Paxton, Marketing Edge magazine, and this has been Beyond the Print.